In their efforts to win votes, one thing the presidential candidates have not tried this year is cartoon ads. Don't laugh, it worked for Franklin Roosevelt and Dwight Eisenhower. A recent video release features a compilation of cartoons on presidential politics going back to the 40s. Neil Rauch reports.
The video opens with music from Psycho and Hail to the Chief meshed together, a statement on politics in and of itself. It then moves on to a cartoon from 1944, promoting the re-election of Franklin Roosevelt to a fourth term. Hellbent for Election depicts a race between two trains. The sleek, newer train is called the Win the War Special, with a front that looks like FDR's face. Its cars are all loaded up with weapons to win World War II. The older train is called the 1929 Defeatist Limited. The film was directed by Chuck Jones, famous for his Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and other Looney Tunes.
We fashioned a very high-speed, beautiful train ran across the country and being obstructed by a rickety old train that represented the way things were.
Basically, the implication is right-wing Republicans.
Producer of the compilation, Greg Ford, says the cartoon played to the fears that if Roosevelt wasn't reelected, the Republicans would repeal popular government programs, and the various cars on the Defeatist Limited depict what might happen if social programs were ended by a Republican administration.
It presents Social Security as a bum lying on a park bench. There's this amazing image. It says housing for veterans. And, you know, it's this one little car that has, like, outhouses. It's very tough.
The plot of Hellbent for Election revolves around Joe Worker, who can only let one of the trains through.
44 is a single track, you know. You've got to sidetrack the Defeatist Limited.
I'm just the guy that can do it, Sam.
Look, Joe, you can, if you don't fall asleep at the switch like you did in November of 1942.
But an opposition senator, a compilation of several conservative lawmakers of the time, tries to distract Joe Worker from switching the tracks.
After all, Joe, business is entitled to a fair profit during this war. But wages have to be frozen, Joe. The workers are making too much money for their own good.
You might say the little cartoon senator represented this figure who was sort of the Newt Gingrich of his time.
Producer Greg Ford.
The amazing thing about the randings of this cartoon villain in Hellbent for Election is that a lot of the things he says are identical to what you're hearing now, actually from both sides. All of these things opposing Roosevelt, you know, who represents happily in this cartoon big government.
Job for everyone. Full employment, full production. Annual wage, good housing, social insurance, security in your old age.
Greg Ford didn't have all that much to choose from in putting this compilation together. There just weren't that many political cartoons made. And he says he couldn't afford to pay for the rights to a couple he wanted, including Betty Boop for president. But Ford believes today's political consultants could learn a lot from the ones he did include, especially 1944's Hellbent for Election.
Although it's a cartoon, it's much less cartoon-like than most political advertising today, which just vilifies the opponent, only not analytically at all. I mean, my God, there's an enormous amount of thought and a million different, subtleties addressed in this, obviously biased pro-Roosevelt cartoon. It's just that the bias isn't the point so much. I mean, there's actually an attempt at an argument, an attempt to convince through caricature.
This cartoon was made during the golden age of animation, and Christian Science Monitor film critic David Sterrett says it and the other cartoons from this period are easily the best of the eight on the video.
I can look at those earlier cartoons and still enjoy them as cartoons, even if the issues are not exactly burning in my life. The more recent things say things I maybe largely agree with, and yet I'm thinking, well, this is not really said very interestingly.
Yet even director Chuck Jones, who at age 84 is once again making Warner Brothers cartoons, says he doesn't think he could make as effective a political cartoon today when there's no war.
It'd be very difficult. I like Clinton, but I particularly like the Democratic Party. But it's pretty hard at these times trying to say who cares the most.
In the pre-television age of 1944, Jones had over 12 minutes to make his case, not 30 seconds. Still, the impact of Hellbent for Election was likely limited. You had to go to a movie theater to see it as the short before the feature, or to a union hall, the film having been sponsored by the United Auto Workers. The next cartoon in the compilation was made for TV, runs only a couple of minutes, and has much less substance. It was made in 1952 in support of Dwight Eisenhower by Walt Disney. Video producer Greg Ford.
When you look at them with the thick outlines and the very tight Mickey Mousing to the music, meaning that like the action's very synchronized to the music, you can see that it's even the same crew that animated the Mickey Mouse Club opening in the 50s. It has the same sort of infectious bandwagon quality of like everybody following Eisenhower to Washington.
Would that make Nixon Donald Duck?
Yeah. No, I think in the cartoon, Adlai Stevenson would have the Donald Duck part. You know, the one guy that doesn't fit in, and we see in the background going the other way on a mule.
Let Adlai go the other way, we'll all go with Adlai.
The other works on the compilation aren't direct political ads per se, but even something like Popeye for President may be partisan. On the surface, it's a typical adventure with spinach determining the election's outcome. But Greg Ford says, look a little deeper.
People have come to me, in fact, noticing that the design of Popeye in this period with his bald head and the shape of his face is very similar to Eisenhower. And Bluto, the villain, is with the Plutocratic Party.
And then there's the Elephant Association.
And what we need is bigger elephants in all our zoos.
By the 1970s, after Vietnam and Watergate, politics in America had become far more cynical. That mood is reflected in a political cartoon from 1974. It's a mixed live-action animation film in which two guys run a cartoon character for president who wins.
At what point there's an Indian crisis and they can't do any new animation of the president, so they actually recycle the animation for another press conference and no one notices. The comments that the cartoon president, Peter President, makes were actually from Eisenhower press conferences.
Now, this whole question has been constantly under study, and it will continue to be studied. And I will give my conclusions when I have seen the results of everybody's opinions and analyses.
Mr. President, critic David Sterrett says that humor and comedy always are allowed to go further than straight political discourse. And he's disappointed that political animation hasn't been used effectively in recent decades.
I think it's interesting that maybe in our culture we're not taking the art of animation, the art of cartooning, and maybe even the art of political pop culture as seriously as it was taken in the 40s and 50s, and we're the worse off for it. And it's interesting that the farther back you go, the better the stuff gets.
Furthermore, I promises 2 cans of spinach for every pot.
For National Public Radio, I'm Neil Rauch in New York.